Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Robin Christofferson.
Oh, hello, welcome to another Tech Talk. Yes, here we are. Do you know, Robin Christofferson, we are almost at episode 300 of this programme. Do you know that?
Wow, and boy, am I in the doghouse this week.
Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are, my friend, because you got in trouble. I love it when someone else gets in trouble and I don't. And that is a first on this programme, let me tell you. Everyone's leaving me alone this week and they're turning their sights on you. We're going to get to why a bit later. Also, you've been buying, I believe. Was this in the Amazon sale by any chance?
Yeah, Prime. Yep. I have some tiles. More about that later.
Tile. No, we're not talking floor tiles here, are we?
We're talking smart tiles.
Smart tiles. Okay. All right. We'll get into that and find out what you've got this week because, I do love buying some new tech. I told you about my Victor Reader stream last week. And, I've got to say, Robin, I'm still loving it. I thought, maybe after a couple of weeks I'd get bored of it, but I'm still there with it. So really, really enjoying using it.
Great.
We're going to be talking about Sky Q. And actually, I want to open up to more sort of wider conversation. I don't want to just pin this on Sky Q, but we're going to be talking about TV box accessibility in a sense, because there is a real challenge at the minute. And I know you don't watch television, I know you just hate television, Mr. I hate TV, but I wonder if more TV set-top boxes were accessible, maybe you might take an interest in that. Do you know what I mean? Okay.
right. It would certainly give me more options.
It would, yeah, it would. Well, there are lots of options available at the moment, but I must admit the sort of big options out there like Sky and Virgin and Freeview and Freesat, they aren't the most accessible. We're going to get into that here on the programme this week, and we've got lots of your emails to get to. Andy's here with those. Hello, Andy.
Hello to you both. How are you?
Well, I'm amazing. Robin is in the doghouse.
Oh, dear.
And we're going to find out why as we get to the emails this week. We've got lots to get through. Shall we get right into the emails, guys? I think we should.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
And can I just say, look, I know we get so many emails and we try to get through as many of them in the show as possible. I really want to thank you for taking the time to send in these emails. They are brilliant and it keeps Andy in work, so everyone's happy. right, let's get to our first email of the day, Andy.
Yes, while I'm still here, yes.
Yeah.
Email from Nadia to start things off. Now, this is a quick clarification on last week's review of the Synaptic TV box.
Yes, so Nadia, just a brilliant review of it.
Yeah, Nadia says, hi guys, just wanted to answer Robin's question. No, you can't record using a TV box. I can't say it's been a problem for me, since catch-up TV means missing a program isn't a problem. But if you do like to record TV, then this isn't a good option. Also, I mentioned that you can read ebooks using your Echo, but I've found that I've encountered very similar problems when listening to an ebook. The Echo just stops when it feels like it. If you ask it to resume, it goes back to the beginning of the current chapter, and if you're lucky, it will read beyond the point where it previously stopped. I do remember on one memorable occasion having to read the same chapter three times because the Echo stopped at different points within the chapter and then returned it to the beginning. So yes, you can listen to ebooks with your Echo, but it can come with a healthy dose of frustration. Oh, and I think it would be great if you could use the Victor Reader stream to go on your Audible account, all of your RNIB Talking Books account, and download books direct to your stream. Maybe they will add this feature in time, but I bet the price will go up accordingly. That's from Nadia.
Okay, well, a couple of things in there. I want to start off with the Synaptic TV box, which did sound brilliant from what Nadia was suggesting last week, Robin. The question you were asking, though, was can you record on it, like a Freeview box, I guess? The answer is no, which is kind of strange. But the reason that is the case is because it doesn't pull in the picture from like a TV aerial or a satellite. It's all coming over the internet. So you know, you're kind of watching live TV streamed to your TV rather than being sort of broadcast to it, which means it can be captured. That's the reason.
Yeah, and you probably need the right hardware, whether it's a hard drive or an SSD, you need some kind of storage rather than just a streaming box.
That's right.
To be able to, yeah, so it's probably not got that the necessary hardware inside.
Which is a shame. I mean, do you think they could build that in, don't you? I mean, maybe that'll come in the future. And I guess, like all these things, if you were to demand something like that and say, look, this is what I really would want to make this box better, then maybe that's something they'll build in the future. But yeah, that's very interesting. The ebook problem, of course, that is a real issue. Again, Nadia seems to be having these endless problems with her Echo, getting it to play books and not crash or stop. Which I don't understand. I mean, you know, we must say at this point that Nadia has been in touch with Audible and Amazon and hasn't really got much of a resolve on this. It could be just the internet's cutting out. It's a strange one. Maybe, how old is the Echo?
That's the thing that occurred to me, is that if it's a first gen, then maybe it's having issues. I mean, it should be fine. I've still got some first gen Echoes here. You
but
can
I think
ask
got out of me on the first gen, and interestingly, it doesn't happen in the other ones. So
yeah. Oh, okay. So, I mean, it doesn't happen at my end. I've been trying it out and just double checking that things are still okay here. So, you know, it could be something to do with her Echo. Now, you can ask the A lady to update herself. You can say, "Have you got any updates?" or "Update your firmware." And if there is one, she'll do it. They're supposed to do it automatically, but the fact that you can ask her to do it implies perhaps that sometimes they don't. So I don't know. That's the only other suggestion I can make.
I've got to say, I get so excited when I get, oh, you've got an update. I don't know what it's going to do, but I'm excited about it. Okay. And the other point that kind of along the same lines, I guess, is Nadia's point there about Audible books. Now, you can actually get Audible books onto your Victor Reader. It's a bit of a palaver, if I'm honest. That's a technical term, by the way. You've got to kind of set up. I find it really awkward to do, and I don't think it's the most accessible process. I did use Be My Eyes to get through it, where I had to set up an Audible download manager and then attach that to my account, and then I had to download another program. I'll maybe go through it one day for a quick demo of how I did it. But I was able to get the books not directly onto the machine, but you had to sort of download or buy the books, then download them through your computer and then over to your stream. But you can put your Audible books on there. So, Nadia, that might be something. Maybe you're doing that already, but if you're not, then that would be something that you can do in the UK. And
it's
interestingly,
really clunky, that Audible
it's
manager.
Horrible.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's horrible, frankly. And I get so annoyed with these things, you know. It's like, come on, why can't we just get an Audible manager? I think you can in the States. I think you can do it directly in the States. Maybe I'm wrong, but I know that in the UK, you've got to go through this rigmarole. The one thing I will say as well is there's very little information out there. I contacted Humanware and they sent me a PDF document which gave me all the instructions on what to do. And that wasn't foolproof either. So yeah, it's complicated, and you do need a lot of time and patience with it. It took me about the best part of an evening to get the books to download. I did it once, got it all wrong, scrapped the whole thing, uninstalled everything, did it again, and the second time it eventually worked. So not perfect at all. And the problem is that once you do all that, and maybe you don't do it for a week or two, you forget how you've done it. And you've got to go back and think, oh, how did I do this again? How did I get the book? how did I get it onto that device? You know, so feels a bit oldie-worldy in some respects, but yeah, hopefully something that will change soon. Nadia, thanks for the email. Let's go to another one.
This email is from Odd Ostby. It says, "Hello, Stephen, Robin and Andy. Thank you for a great and very helpful podcast. I have already made use of many of your suggestions about different apps using different key combinations for Outlooks and Jaws, etc. I am also a hugely dedicated Victor Stream user."
Hey.
Hey. "I have it, had one for several years, and in fact the reason I got to know about your excellent podcast was via the podcast folder on the stream. I searched for R&IB related subjects, and there I found the Tech Talk podcast. I have loads of podcast feeds on my stream, and the new episodes are automatically downloaded, many of them from the BBC. I am an Anglophile and Norwegian. I also listen to R&IB broadcasts as well. via the stream. I'm also able to download digital books from Bookshare in the States, although the built-in voice Heather could have been better. In addition, I can access both a dictionary and a Wikipedia directly on my stream. They are built-in options that I often make use of. One of the most impressive features of the stream, however, is that I am able to search and download books directly to the stream from the Norwegian Talking Book Library when I have a Wi-Fi connection. I simply use the keys the same way I do on the mobile. I can even get a brief description of the contents of the book. Our library also gives us free access to digital versions of lots of newspapers and other magazines, and by subscribing to them, I get the newest edition as soon as it is available, so I don't need to go via the PC as before. As you understand, there are at least two inhabitants of Norway listening to the show, because Yngve and me. In fact, he says it was me who made Yngve aware of the podcast, but you don't need to read that out loud. It's too late, because I already have.
Yeah, too late, yeah.
Looking forward to each new Tech Talk podcast. Many grateful greetings. That's from Odd.
Hey, well, listen,
commission in the post.
Yeah. Listen, I don't care where you are in the world. I'm just glad you're listening. And it's brilliant. Although I must say, I am a huge fan of Norway. Mm-hmm. My cruise took me there last year. And do you know what I loved about it? I love two things about Norway. I thought the people were lovely. They were so friendly. And I also love the fact there was about three of them. Nobody lives there. In fact, I think it is only Yngve and Odd that are actually there, and there's the other guy I met, and that's kind of it. It's an amazing country. It's so sparse and so beautiful. And maybe that's part of the charm, is the fact that, you know, it's not filled with people who are destroying it. Yep. But anyway, lovely country. But listen, just to sort of pick up on some of those things, the ability to be able to download books and magazines comes through the Daisy Online option, which is on the player. So when you go through the options, once you connect online, you can go through all the Daisy libraries. And yes, one of them is Norwegian. I did notice that. But there are ones there for other countries in Europe and Australia as well. And of course, I think in Canada. So, you know, but none here. There's no Daisy Online library in the UK, which is kind of bizarre to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the problem, Rob, isn't it? It's getting access to the material. There seems to be, for whatever reason in the UK, the kind of libraries that other countries have signed up to, we just haven't. I don't know what that's about.
It's just about logistics and partnerships not being made. So, yeah, that's all I can think of. And it would be great if Humanware were able to be a bit more proactive in making, you know, making things more consistent across regions.
Well, I know it's something that Humanware are interested in. In fact, I got an email the other week telling me just that. I won't get into the details, but let's just say Humanware are listening to this program and they're taking note, and they are very interested in what we are doing, and especially what we're doing here at RNIB. So I think relationships can be forged, and you know, the unintended consequence of a show like this is that people hear it, they talk about it, and suddenly things happen. So, yes, you can thank us later, world. Let's go to another email.
This is an email from Kelly. Now, this is following up on a story from a couple of weeks ago about Lady A and the NHS.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was we talked about the privacy side of it.
Yeah.
We talked about, obviously, the benefits to blind people here.
And it can give medical advice. So,
yeah.
It's listening to the BBC News, Tech Tent, Sky News and yourselves, I don't understand what the fuss is all about. It's no different than dialing 111 or going to the NHS website. They both give you the same information, just like Lady A. There's an organisation called Big Brother Watching, who are always campaigning about security and data protection. What they don't realise is that there are people with multi-disabilities, the elderly and the visually impaired, who will welcome Lady A along with the NHS. How can your medical records be leaked out? It's impossible. All we're doing is asking a question and saving the GP's time. You would seek medical help from a GP if it was really necessary. If you wanted to find out the symptoms of scarlet fever, for example, you would ask Lady A for accurate information. My stepdad thinks that the organisations like Big Brother Watching are trying to make things awkward. And there was another person on Tech Tent saying that this is a gimmick. I'm quite offended because I use Lady A a lot. Regarding Dot to Dot, I have had some really good ideas from that podcast. Hmm. I found that a skill based on the ITV quiz program called Tenable. I thought you ought to give it a go, Robin. What it is you have to guess 10 favourite things, like milkshakes sold at McDonald's, for example. Each one of them you can be named in Tenable. All the best. That's from Kelly in Loxford.
Fake news.
Kelly, that was episode 829, just to let you know, Tenable. So, yeah, absolutely. Brilliant, brilliant skill. And thanks for the comment about dot to dot in general. So, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with everything she's said there. It's no different from doing a Google search or, you know, talking to the people on 111. It's just bringing the NHS information into the A-Lady, and I hope they do similar things with other smart speaker providers, so that you can trust and be confident in the information that it gives you back about symptoms of scarlet fever, for example. And it's got absolutely no link to your GP health records, although if in future they were able to do that so that I could ask her, you know, for to refresh a prescription or whatever it might be, I would be all for that as well. And definitely privacy. Well, we're coming on to another story a little bit later on about privacy with these virtual assistants.
Well, I think I'll save my opinion for later.
Yeah,
because
okay,
I think it's about to be proven that you shouldn't be quite so easy to give away your privacy. But anyway, it's an interesting one for sure. Meanwhile, though, let's get a comment in. Ray got in touch with us and sent us this audio by email.
Hi there, this is Raymond from Guildford. I'd like to talk about the streamers who have been on the programme. It was a podcast I heard about a year after they launched the second stream, and Humanware was on the podcast, and they said they sold 1,500 units all over the world, and that was in the first year. How many they've sold since is a good what's name. But I like to tell you things that I have found that you wouldn't expect to be on the stream that you could get. I mean, on this stream that I've got in front of me, I've got a fire station from Canada and a police station in America. Now, if you go to the search area and type in audio, I'm not going to tell you what's on that list of station, but I think you will be very surprised at what there is. And the other second thing is, how about audio describe films on the radio? Yes, I did say audio describe, and you can get audio describe filmed on a channel. There's 7 channels that you can get them on. The one that I use the most is number 7, and that's I'd say about 98% is audio described films and programs. There is even a Goon Show radio coming from London as well.
Go to station.
Then
1, 4, 3, 143.
Channel 7 events and special programming. The listen factor.
Press the play button.
Carry the toys to the door, and O'Hara salutes Teddy.
Children be go crazy.
Hello, Colonel.
Teddy glares at Brophy.
Hey, Sarge. Eh? Oh, yes.
Brophy exchanges a salute with Teddy.
I have watched some Star Wars on this channel as well about a couple of weeks ago. You might have known about the stations. If you want those channels, if you go into the search area and type in blind, and you will find these 7 channels there in the list. There's some reading services in America and that as well. And the other thing I'd like to talk about is the Synatic TV box. It's a good machine, but I've had to send mine back twice, because back in February there was an update for it. And one time I was on my laptop up this end of the room, and all of a sudden the Synaptic TV box turned on the TV. And another time I was out in the kitchen and the Synaptic TV box turned on. And not just that, it signed me out of Google as well, and I couldn't sign back in. In the end, I sent it back to them, and they were very quick on the return. And then the following day, I was in Audible, and I got a book, and the speech went on it. I thought it was the remote control, but it wasn't. It still watched them, and I sent it back to them, and I got it back. I haven't set it up. I've demoted it to upstairs for the time being, because I've got this Samsung TV, smart TV, because that's got speech on it as well. And it's, I think Samsung TVs are 100% blind friendly. They are. Okay then, I'll sign off, and thanks for the technology, mate.
Well, thank you, Raymond, for getting in touch and telling us everything there, because lots to unpack from that, actually, Robin. Mm-hmm. And I think the first thing we've got to say is, and this is a difficult one for me, because this has kind of uncovered a bit of a world out there that has been ongoing for a while, where there have been channels, radio channels, well, online channels, playing content, which is, let's just say, of questionable copyrighted standing. Is that maybe a good way of putting it?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things are out of copyright. All old-time radio shows and probably older films as well. And probably the clip we heard there was from something that had probably once been in copyright but isn't anymore. But then he mentioned about Star Wars, and that's definitely copyrighted. So, yeah, absolutely. Big health warning there. Humanware, obviously, were comfortable about including it as a pre-programmed station, or is it just the search facility that is like a third-party thing?
Yes, this is interesting, because there is what you call the Humanware Recommended, which is a playlist essentially of maybe, I think it's 20-odd channels, and those include things from the BBC, they include us here, they include lots of other things, but they don't, you know, that's kind of it. Beyond that, it's a service called Ootunes, which provides all of the content. And that could be a whole wide range of things that Humanware don't have any control over. So Humanware aren't condoning any of this. They aren't suggesting it. It's just there, of the thousands of stations that are out there on many, many different libraries. But, of course, they're available accessibly through this device. And I must say, I think this is what's great about a device like this. It's so accessible, so easy to use. It does let you access these things. We're not condoning it here at RNIB Connect Radio. What people do online with their radio station is up to them. But be aware. And I think it's important to know it. Not that it really makes any difference to the end user, I guess. But be aware, you're probably listening to something that you shouldn't really be able to listen to. Yeah. Yes, the companies would be upset if you're broadcasting Star Wars, right? I mean, you shouldn't be doing that. But it is an audio only, and it is audio described. So you know, you can have your ethical arguments about that day and night. You can tell us what you think about it. But basically, it's not something we would condone. But it is something that is clearly available for people if they wanted to listen to it. We are not naming it, so if you find it, good luck to you, but we're not putting the name out here, and we thank Ray for not mentioning the name either. We don't want to promote it, but it is there. So onto the Synaptic TV box Ray mentioned, and yeah, it's got its foibles, you know, it's got its foibles as well, and it's not perfect. Again, this is the thing, I mean, you know, the great thing with Synaptic, I will say, is that they do have a UK service option. You have got people you can contact to get support. There's even remote support as well. So if you can't figure out what you're doing, they can sort of log in for you, with your permission, of course, and take over control and fix the problem. I do like Synaptic for that. I think that's really good. And clearly, you know, he may have had issues with it, but, you know, he's got, what, three replacements so far? You know, something, two replacements? So that's good, you know, the fact that the company are doing that. And hopefully his issue is resolved. Okay, I think we should move on to one more email for the moment. Tina has been in touch.
Yeah, Tina asks, can anyone help? I'm currently using Freeview on a Panasonic television with Voice Guide. I'm currently considering subscribing to Sky, yeah, but I need more information before signing up. I'm totally blind and I'm aware that there is no Voice Guide on Sky products at the moment. Can a visually impaired person use the new Sky Q-Box with voice control independently to record and to retrieve programmes? Thank you. That's from Tina in Newport.
Well, you know something, Tina? It's a question I'd love to answer myself, but I actually think there's someone who is far more qualified to answer that question, and he joins me on the line now. Gordon Anthony is here joining me on the line. Hello to you.
Hello.
I thought I'd get you on because I think you might be able to answer Tina's question better than we can. Because, like I say, you have been going through the motions here trying to use Sky Q and having some successes along the way. I do remember you getting in touch with some good news stories and then falling back a bit as well. So, you know, I just thought I'd get you on. So what's your impression of Sky Q and, in particular, Tina's questions around accessibility for a blind person?
I think it very much depends on circumstances. The short answer is, I would say, if somebody has no sight at all, and if they don't have sighted family members around to help them, I would not recommend Sky Q.
Okay.
Now, there are reasons for that, and we should probably go into into those. There are some good things about Sky Q, and I have to say, I've got, you know, quite a large family at home here, and the rest of them absolutely love it. You can record multiple programs at any one time. Storage space on the box is huge, so I've got loads and loads of programs without filling up. Depending on the package you can get an extra mini box, which we've got, so that gives you effectively multi-room as part of your subscription. So you get two, then you get the main box and the mini box, which talks to it, but which can watch and record separately.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. And it also gives you access via, I've got it on my iPhone. So it'll work on a phone or a tablet so that I can open up the app, go to the TV guide and watch live TV or watch something that I've recorded on my phone. So effectively, you've got three screens to watch TV on as part of the Sky Q package. So that's great. That's a really good thing.
So those are the things you're happy with.
Yes.
But you face challenges as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I should say that Sky also have a disability phone line help desk, mm-hmm. which I use a lot, and not just for Sky Q, but anything to do with Sky, my emails, my my accounts, my bills, anything at all. And you register with them if you have a disability, and the staff, they are always very helpful and very patient, even with people like me who like a moan. and now we get to the moaning part.
Okay.
That's the bad things about Sky Q. The biggest bugbear with it is that there is no audio feedback. So if you go into Sky and you want to dial up the menu and scroll through the electronic program guide, you can't. There's no audio feedback. You have no idea what the menu item is or anything that's happening on the screen. Now, it does have this speech input thing. So the remote comes with a little button that you press and you can talk to the Skybox and tell it to do things. So this is one of the other good things. You can say, for example, play BBC One and it will turn to BBC One and you can then do channel up, channel down, or if you want to jump to something like Sky Sports Main Event, you just press the button, say Sky Sports Main Event, and on comes whatever's on that channel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good. You can also tell it to play something that's been recorded if you know the name of the recording absolutely precisely. You have to say the name of the program absolutely exactly, and it will then play. And once it's playing, you can say pause, rewind, fast forward. You can say skip 3 minutes. So there's adverts on the program. You want to get there, you just pull down the button, say skip 3 minutes, and it jumps 3 minutes forward. So that's pretty good. The hard part is getting it started, because one of the big problems I find with it is that you can talk to the Sky box and nothing happens. And there's no audio feedback to tell you why nothing has happened. And it can be for a number of reasons.
Okay, so it's not like an Amazon Echo or a Hey Siri or whatever. You know, it won't recognize or won't respond to you audibly. Just maybe display something on screen, but not anything we can see.
Absolutely, right. That's the big problem. You speak to it and you just get nothing, and you don't know why you get nothing. And there can be a number of reasons. I have in the past discovered one reason was I was trying to watch a recording of a film and it was PIN protected. So Sky was asking my PIN, but of course I didn't know that. The other thing I've found as a real big problem is that depending on, if you can't see what you're doing with the remote, you might press the wrong button occasionally. There is if you go into the menus on Sky, the program that you're watching continues to play, but it moves into a corner of the screen. So you can still hear the program, but the actual picture has been, not minimized, but put into a corner of the screen, and the rest of the screen is taken up with Sky menus. And if you talk to Sky while you're in that mode, nothing will happen. You need to have the TV in full screen mode so that only the program is there. But if you don't know that...
Now, we should say, for sake of balance here, these are features of the Sky system, which are how the system works, right? I mean, it actually all works really well. And if we all had full working vision, it would be amazing.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. The rest of my family love it. They wonder, what's all the fuss about here? Well, the fuss is I'm talking to it and it's not giving me what I want.
Now, interestingly, I remember back when the Sky Plus days, and I think you can still get Sky Plus. I could be wrong, but I think you can still get Sky Plus if you wanted. One thing that was good about that system, and this might be more where Tina might feel a solution, is you can control the Sky box with your phone. So that's something you can't do with Sky Q.
You can't. You can't. Really, Sky Plus was great. I loved Sky Plus. Mm. And if it had just been me, I would not have upgraded to Sky Q. I would have stuck with Sky Plus because, as you say, you can control the box through your iPhone or whatever.
So maybe that's a better solution because for Tina anyway, perhaps because if you really do want to get the Sky experience and you're looking for a box that is accessible-ish, the box again will not speak to you. It is not going to speak. It's the same everything you've just said. But the difference is you can control the box via an accessible Sky Plus app. Yeah. So that might be better. And that is one thing I do miss about my Sky Plus box as well, I must admit. I love the features that the Sky Q box brings, and I use what's left of my vision to do that. And if you've got low vision, there are high contrast options, which is good for vision. It's a kind of a blue screen that surrounds it, and it's quite hard to read the white text on it. You can change that and invert it to a much darker grey background with a much stronger white text. You can also turn on audio description, of course, but again, all these menus need to be accessed by someone who can see to be able to navigate
it. I just say there, Stephen, sorry, one thing that I didn't mention was that you can actually turn audio description on and off via the voice remote.
Oh, you can? Oh, that's interesting. Right.
You press the button and say, turn on audio description, and it turns on.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. That's brilliant.
Yeah, that does work. But the system itself, I think you're absolutely right. Sky Plus is very accessible. Sky Q really isn't. And the app, as I say, I have the app on my phone and it takes a bit of getting used to. It's quite tricky to navigate. You have to figure out where things are on the screen and which buttons to press to make. But you can scroll through the channels and you can find a program and you can say, watch it now, and it will come up on your phone or tablet. But if it's a program that has audio description, you will not get the audio description if you watch it via the app.
Mm.
So you can record a program with audio description, and you can play it on your Sky box, and you get the audio description, but if you play it on your phone, you won't.
The real irritant here, I guess, is, and this applies not just to Sky, but to other services as well, because, I mean, the only accessible TVs, and we have to balance this out by saying, Virgin boxes, Freeview boxes, these don't have accessibility built in either. None of these devices do. The only accessible options out there now are certain television manufacturers like LG, Samsung, Panasonic. They are building in accessible electronic program guides, but that only gives you Freeview television. Yeah. So, it's quite difficult because, to get Sky accessibly the way we would like it, and I've shouted about this often enough, especially around audio description, it is quite difficult. And that's why, it's not that we want to do Sky down here by saying these things. Actually, what we want is for more blind people to enjoy it like we want to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a frustration, isn't it? It's a frustration that we're so near, so near.
Yeah.
And in 2019, we can't get these boxes to talk, no matter whether it's Sky or Virgin or any other one. But, you know, the question was about Sky, and you've given us the answer on that. And I think your answers are very interesting. And I hope, Tina, you've learned a lot out of this. Gordon, it's been great having you on. Thank you so much for coming on Tech Talk and sharing your thoughts.
Thank you very much indeed.
News from the internet.
Yeah, so let's get into the news then, and lots to talk about. I did want to mention one story this week. If we only get this story in, I'll be happy, because, you know, Kelly's email earlier suggesting that there's nothing to worry about regarding the, you know, NHS and the Amazon Echo story from a couple of weeks back. Well, I'm sorry, Robin, I know you kind of tend to lean towards Kelly's view on this. I don't. And that's because I have read this story this week about Siri. Siri has had some of our content, I guess, listened to by real people in an attempt to, I guess, make the service better, which on one hand is good, but on the other hand is kind of scary because it's hearing what we're saying to her or him.
Well, I mean, this is the latest story that's come out about the smart assistants, and it's Apple's turn this time. Yes, there are people listening to occasional ones that the Siri algorithms say were probably had a low percentage or likelihood of being answered correctly, and those would be escalated up to people who would make corrections to any transcription errors in what the person said versus what Siri thought you said. And the thing is to bear in mind here is that the data is anonymized. So unless in the snippet that they hear, you say your name, your national insurance number and your sort code or something, then you're good to go. But you're absolutely right. There are people involved. It does get escalated. I think Apple is probably the most trustworthy organization by quite some margin. And Google do this as well. That story came out recently, humans listening into those recordings. Again, they're anonymized. The story back in April, though, that the Amazon people were listening when you talked to the A-lady, those weren't anonymized. So Google and Apple are doing it the right way. So if you're going to be worried about anyone, it should be Amazon.
Which, oddly enough, are the ones that you're saying we don't need to worry about, handing over all our questions and concerns about NHS?
So,
questions.
I mean, just like with the Google search, you could be searching on behalf of yourself or your second cousin or the milkman.
I'm asking for a friend.
So that's true. But you're absolutely right. If you then had, you know, GP integration, but it would take a company like Facebook to flaunt the very high security considerations when you're tying it to your own personal medical records, for example. I can't see, well, Amazon don't do it at the moment, none of them do, but I can't see them playing fast and free with security when it comes to that sort of integration. And we're not talking about that sort of integration at the moment. We're talking about ad hoc queries. And I agree with Nadia.
Kelly, I think it was, wasn't it?
Oh.
But I know what you mean. And it's funny. I mean, it's an interesting one because I guess it depends how much you trust these companies. And I think we have to accept with all this that what we're doing can't really fall under the vein of privacy. I think this is the problem, that privacy is being handed over. However you look at it, whether you agree with it or not, whether you think it's right or wrong, whether you think it's being used for good or bad or used at all, you're asking a device which is connecting to a system to, you know, that has to kind of, in order for it to be better, it has to be examined, our questions, our responses. Otherwise, it would never improve. In fact, that was one of the big criticisms of Siri in the first place, was because it was anonymised, because it wasn't personal, they couldn't really improve on it the way that Google and Amazon did, because obviously they were personalising the information. They were using all of that. So, yeah, it's a difficult one. It's a challenge. But Yeah, it's an interesting story, you know, and it's one we'll obviously add to the pile of, you know, companies that are watching and listening to what we say and do. I think it's always nice to be respectful to your smart assistant because you never know when they'll just turn against you. Right. Now, there's another story you wanted to bring up, Robin. It's completely gone out of my mind what it was, but there was a story I know you were quite keen to bring up this week.
Well, there was the IKEA speakers.
Yes.
Yeah, now these aren't smart in as much as they're not A-Lady-ified or Google Home-ified, so, but they are smart in the way that Sonos speakers are, for example, and they're a fraction of the price. So if you like IKEA gear, then you can have the choice, they're coming next month, between a lamp, a speaker that's hidden in a table lamp, and a shelf speaker and that does look like a speaker. They, as I say, they haven't got voice assistant compatibility, but you, however you drive your Sonos speakers, if you're a hi-fi person and you've got some Sonos capabilities in your house through the app, for example, then these can be part of your Sonos family as well. So yeah, it's a collaboration between IKEA and Sonos, and it's the quality, the fidelity is equivalent to a Play One, I think they were saying in
That's
the article,
right, yeah.
Which is that the entry level one?
That's your kind of entry level, yeah. I mean, yeah. I would say the Play One's probably close to dead. Because truth be told, the new one, which is the Sonos One, which is the kind of takeover from it,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the difference is between the sound. I don't know. I assume it's got a better quality sound. It's the same size, but yeah, the Play One, the original speaker. I think what they're doing, if I've got a theory on this one, I think what they've done is they're trying to get rid of all these Play Ones. They're not selling because people are buying the Sonos One, so they've just
put
basically gutted
lamp.
Them and stuck them inside an IKEA lamp. That's
so,
essentially it, isn't it?
Yeah, but also reduced the price. So the lamp is, it's there's a dollar price here in this article, but it is coming to the UK next month as well. So it's $179 for the lamp, $99 for the shelf speaker. So you could probably convert that to pounds, perhaps. But yeah, that's, I think, good value for good speakers. And if you don't want to have it look like there's a speaker, then the lamp probably is the one to go for.
I've been told it looks like an Apple HomePod with a lampshade stuck on it.
So, I don't know if that's a good thing.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think you can put smart... and Andy's been looking into this as well, because I think you quite want more, quite keen on these as well.
Yes, anything IKEA-related, I'm all for at the moment, yeah. The blinds especially, but...
Oh, yes, the smart blinds are coming. Was it next month?
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of weeks' time, I think.
Oh,
finally.
I really want these. I really want these smart blinds. I've been trying to convince my wife. You see, what I've been doing is gradually bringing into the house smart technology. And what I love is now she loves turning on the fan. She loves, you know, having the music in the kitchen with the devices. And she's really getting into the hang of it all. So piece by piece, I'm gradually introducing more smart tech. And the next thing is the blinds. And I think she's going to love them, actually. I know I will. I love the idea of just saying, good morning, and suddenly all the blinds and the house go up. If I could just get something from IKEA that could take the bins out on a Tuesday, then that would be my life sorted. Maybe take the dog for a walk.
That would be
well.
Having an automated husband. So Marie, she might upgrade.
You might think she's going to get rid of me in favour of. Yeah, I don't think she'd be too bothered by that. I think I'd be the one losing out there.
2.
But yeah, Symfonisk. Is that how you say it? Symfonisk?
Yep, Symfonisk.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to hearing them. That's what I'm really keen to do, is hear what they sound like. So Andy and I might go along and sneak into IKEA with a recorder and see what they sound like.
The two that I've seen so far, one of them's a pure blackout blind, and the other one lets a little bit of light through.
Oh, this the blind.
The two blinds.
You're obsessed with these blinds.
Sorry, I go
back to the speakers here.
It's still technology, but yeah.
Yeah, no, he's hooked on the blinds. So we want the speakers. Okay, well, look, stay with us because we're going to get back to some emails as well. In fact, do you know what? Let's get back to the emails because I know there's other stories we can cover, but we are short of time here on the episode. I think we get back to the emails because Robin's in trouble this week.
Email.
Yes, he is.
We get email. We get your email every day.
Doorbell.
Here's your mail today.
Now, Robin, you have got a new nickname this week. Naughty Robin.
I am sitting on the naughty step.
No, Andy.
Yes.
Explain to us why Robin's on the naughty step.
This, he's been christened Naughty Robin from Sheila, who's emailed in saying, "Hi, tech team, and especially Naughty Robin. I typed seeable holidays for blind and visually impaired into Google, and the first result was seeable, accessible, active holidays for visually impaired and blind." So, Robin, not seeability. This is what they have to say. "Your adventure starts here. Seeable is an award-winning social enterprise organising accessible and active holidays for individuals, couples, families and small groups. Our accessible holidays are tailored to your needs. We guarantee a stress-free booking process while providing local knowledge that you need in order to enjoy the holiday to the fullest. I didn't want anyone thinking that I had just imagined it," says Sheila.
Well, yes. So just to be clear on this, Robin last week did suggest it was seeability. I did say, I think I said at the time, I think he means seeable, and I was shouted down, Andy.
Were you?
Yes, I was shouted down, and I bow to Robin's superior knowledge. So I just thought, oh, he knows what he's talking about. So I just went off and ate something in the corner.
I think what we need to clarify to the listeners is how you spell seeable.
Well, that is an issue.
Yeah, so I googled S-E-E, able,
as
because
you
it's a vision-related charity.
Yep.
And you'd think that S-E-E would start seeable. But no, it's S-E-A-B-L-E, and you're not going to find anything if you put the wrong string of characters into Google. So that's absolutely why.
All right, don't start getting controversial on here, Robin Christopherson. All right. It's pure charity.
But I was slighting.
You know, they're saying, yeah, we've got a bend to suit you here. What's going on?
I was slighting Sheila, wasn't I, by saying that she was mistaken in how it was called. So I absolutely appreciate that she came back and put me right.
Yeah.
I'm just glad.
By the way, not the only one.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Here's one from Ian. "Hello, I think Robin may have failed in his homework. It all hangs on, like Robin says, the spelling of seeable.
Yeah.
The website, if anyone else is interested, is www.seable.co.uk. This is one of the many occasions where, for a blind person, using Braille really does pay dividends and makes the difference."
Oh, you got you on the Braille one.
Well, I mean, if I had a Braille display and my Braille wasn't so rusty, then yeah, that would have got it, except that the pronunciation would probably have been the first thing I'd listened to, and not referring to the Braille, I just like skimmed over it or something. But no, you're absolutely right. You got me bang to rights.
I'm not enjoying this too much, but there was another one, wasn't there?
Yeah, a similar one from Andy as well, who says, "Hi, Stephen, Robin and Andy. Seeable Holidays does exist, and it's quite different to Seeability." Yeah, hello, if you're listening from the Seeability charity. We're giving you quite a lot of mentions as well. So, Robin, perhaps your homework isn't complete. Take a look at the website. Kind regards from Andy. Yes, bang to rights.
Are we done?
Are we done?
Yes, there is another message you might want to mention from Ian, the second email I read there. "I must also point out to Stephen that it is possible to find audio-described programmes in the ITV Hub. To do this, it is vital to create an ITV account. And once you've done this, you can see full category list, and one of the categories is audio-described. Hope this helps," from Ian.
No, that's interesting. That's something you can't do where I live, because I live in Scotland. And Scotland has the STV player, not the ITV player. If you've put in your... because I tried once to set up an ITV account, but asked for a postcode, and the postcode was actually obviously not relevant, and it wouldn't show me... I think it let me see programmes on certain channels, maybe ITV 2 or 3, but not on ITV 1, or whatever ITV's... Whatever, I don't know, what is ITV called this week? Is it still called ITV 1? I never watch it, I don't know. But whatever it's called, that main channel, they don't... you can't get that in Scotland. It has to be STV. It's not confusing at all, is it? So, yeah, there we go. Anyway, I want to talk about, Robin, some of your purchases
mm-hmm.
you've got before we go. I know we've got some more emails to get to, and we'll try and get those in. But just to sort of ask you about your purchases, and one particular one that will help you find things, like, for example, where the Seeable website is.
Well...
I'm only kidding.
So this is called Tile, and there are two main manufacturers of these little Bluetooth tiles. I've got one here. It's kind of about the size of a jumbo Scrabble tile. It's about just over an inch square and about a quarter of an inch thick. And it's very lightweight and kind of doesn't feel like there's anything inside it. But so this is called Tile. The other one is Tracker without an E, T-R-A-C-K-R. And you can set them up to connect to your phone. So I've got my phone here. And when you set up the Tile app, it's doable. Occasionally, there is an unlabeled button, but it's not that important. So I was able to do that fine. And then what you do is you name the tile. So this one I've got in my hand is called the spare tile because it's not actually connected to a key ring at the moment. I've got one on the set of front door keys, one on the back door keys, and one on Judith's bunch of car keys. But you could connect it to anything that you routinely lose, either in the house or out and about. And once you've named the tile and you've connected it, you can also set up an A-Lady skill as well by enabling the tile skill. And so you can ask the A-Lady. So let's have a quick demo.
You're going to do this live? Oh,
absolutely.
Right, okay.
So the way that you can find your phone, for example, if you've got the tile on you, then you can double-click the logo on the tile. So if I do that. Now, my phone's on silent at the moment. I'll just stop that. So my phone was actually locked and unsilent. The silent switch was on. So that's how you can call your phone if you want to know where your phone is around the house. If you want to ring the tile, then you could do it from the app on the phone. You could do it with a Siri shortcut, which I've set up. But I'll do it from the A-Lady. Alexa, ask Tile to find the spare tile.
I'm ringing your spare tile.
And this is what the tile sounds like. Just click the logo on
that's
the tile.
That's loud.
Oh, sorry. So, yeah, I mean, it has to be loud because you have to find it around the house.
That's good, though, yeah.
So, yeah, really good. Now, I'm trying to pluck up courage to put one of these to the entrance to the park nearby because I often miss that. And so if I can secrete it somewhere, then as I get close, I can ask the S-Lady to ring the tile. I'll be able to find it. The back door keys, I actually use that to get to the back door because when you're in the garden and you're quite somewhere away from the door, we don't have a path going down the middle of the lawn, for example. So to just call it and have it ring, and then you can get back to the back door because the back door set of keys are in the back door. So you can hear it there. So yeah, really good. In Prime, they were £10 each. I got a pack of four for £40, but they're usually quite a bit more than that. So yeah, this is called the Tile Mate. That's the model that we're looking at here.
And what's the range on them? How far can you walk away from them?
So it's Bluetooth range. So it really depends on what's in between you and the tile or the tile and the phone. Mm. It relies on the phone being nearby to know or communicate with the tile. But Tile as a service has a lot of other capabilities that don't cost anything. So there is a premium service where you can have it automatically do things as you leave the house or, you know, location based. But basically, if you drop your keys when you're out and about, and if somebody walks past your keys within Bluetooth distance who is also a Tile user, then you can see on a map on your phone where it was last seen. So you don't have to be within Bluetooth distance so long as somebody was at some point. It will say last seen 7 minutes ago in the park or whatever it is, and you can, that would take some sight to look at the pin on the map to be able to locate those keys. If it's next to a building where it knows that, then it will tell you what the address of that building is. So here it would tell me that this was last seen 2 minutes ago at blah, 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 my house number and street address, because it knows that from the, you know, GPS data. So if it's anywhere near something that it knows about already, then you could use that to find them. But otherwise, you would need to have a pair of eyes to help you locate it on the map, on the Tile app on your phone, even though you dropped it way off and it just happens that somebody else passed by. It says on the app, there are 522 Tile users in my area, and getting a pair of eyes to look at the area, it's really quite close. It's not the whole of my town. It's just within, I think, a kilometre radius of where I am. So there are lots of tile users out there. So that's part of the power of the solution as well.
I like the fact that it's crowdsourced as well. Yeah. So there's other people involved. I like the fact that it's you know, easy to set up. Well, I actually will ask you about that in a second. But it, you know, sounds good to use with Lady A, with Surrey as well. What about that setup process? Because of course, all these things usually rely on an app.
Yeah. How's
that?
The app isn't totally great, but it's doable. And I've contacted them. We've had a little email exchange. Who knows, by the time if you do want to go for it, it'll all be fine. At the moment, occasionally a button, it will say possible text, blah, blah, blah. And we know that's because in iOS, it can now look at buttons and say and have a guess of what the text is on it or what the icon is. So, yeah, occasionally it says that. I was able to set it up myself, though. So the tile is called the Tile Mate, and I mentioned the price earlier. This is the one with exchangeable batteries. So this will last about a year. I wouldn't have to throw it away then, like with other models. You can just swap out the battery, a little watch battery. So that's, yeah, the Tile Mate if you want to go for that one. And the final thing I should say is that you can either, as well as using the tile to ring your phone and find your phone, obviously you can ask the A-Lady to ring your phone via the tile skill as well. So anything that's kind of connected into the ecosystem, you can find very easily.
Okay, well, it sounds great. I mean, I'm really keen to try. I did buy one during the sale because, you know, why wouldn't I? I got it, and I haven't even opened it up yet because I was kind of waiting to hear what you thought. If you had told me the app was so unusable that I couldn't even bother, you know, I wouldn't be bothered even bother setting it up. I would just send it back. But that's really good. That's really good. Sounds like a great little thing. And you're right, there are other ones out there. Tile is kind of the main one at the moment, it's fair to say. Tracker, I guess, close second?
Yeah, I don't know which is the bigger one, but those are the two big ones. And I don't know how accessible Tracker is, so I can't talk to that.
I should have bought a Tracker. We're going to put them to the test, head to head. Listen, that's it from me. Thank you so much, and thank you to Robin once again. We are out of time for another week. Sorry we didn't get to more of your emails. Sorry, Andy.
I'm still here somewhere, but yeah, I'll read them to myself.
Yeah, you read them to yourself. Keep them for next week.
Okay.
Because we have got more comments and more comments about the Victor Reader. The Victor Reader love continues next week on the programme. So we'll get to that here on Tech Talk. If you want to contribute, you can record an audio file on your phone and then email it to me. You can do that by simply emailing techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That is the email address, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what is happening in your world with technology, the issues you're having. If you have any questions, get in touch and we'll do our best to answer them. Catch you again next time.
Thanks, guys.